human beings, we tend to divide ourselves, placing us into different categories, and then we assign certain things to those areas, ones that are separate and apart from the others. We take on various roles and responsibilities, acting in a way that is appropriate where we find us. For instance, we act in one way in the privacy of our own home, and another way at our day job, toiling away with our fellow workers. We take on a persona appropriate for our leisure time, but we assume another stance in a more formal setting. We act one way as a listener, and another way as a presenter. Each activity that we take on comes with certain expectations, ones that we are asked to meet and to fulfill. In time, we become accustomed to dividing us into bits and pieces. It is simply our method and means of meeting the challenges at hand. The thing is that each role or assignment which we take on demands something of us. Every project or venture that we are involved with contains certain particulars or specifications, ones that are unique to its plan and its purpose. And yes, we are meant to act accordingly. And you know, we can get really caught up in that activity of those changing scenes with the various views, traits, and characteristics. Now, as individuals, we have many interests. I personally believe that we feel we must divide and separate us in order to accommodate those various demands of all of our interests. And in all of our dividing and our separating, the time may come when we lose sight of who we truly are. We are sitting in a church. So I assume that at some point in time, a study of religion became one of our interests. And as was our habit of study, we wondered what would be the persona of one who is interested in religion. How does one act accordingly? And what are the demands that go with that designation? Now, our normal activity would be to once again divide us, acting at times as that worldly one, and at other times as the religious novice. But we find us sitting in a church which teaches that God is not separate and apart from our daily experience. We learn that as a child of God, we are one with life. And we are not meant to be divided into bits and pieces, assuming various roles and degrees of identity. As we absorb the teachings and the beliefs of our spiritual understanding, we conclude that if God is not to be separate and apart from our daily experience, then it is definitely up to us to find a way to unite Him with our daily experience. And why would we really want to do this? Well, we are told that having God in our life would provide a firm foundation, one that serves as a way for us to gain understanding about life and about everything in it, one that does not involve itself in the temporariness of the human condition. Those are the ones with the changing scenes of experience. Now, I think this is what is meant by that verse in the Bible that says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." This house is established on oneness, wholeness, and absolute identity. When we choose to live in this house, we will no longer divide us into bits and pieces, spreading ourselves in various directions, to meet the demands of human survival. You know, a lot of what we do because of fear. We want to fit in and belong to something, and we are willing to go to great lengths to make it happen. So we try to please others. But you know, in reality, the ones that we are attempting to please are also going through their times of fear and uncertainty. No one escapes this activity. But now we heard about a firm foundation. There is something intriguing about a firm foundation, and we are told that it is already established and at hand. A firm foundation, it does not shift and move around. Having found a way to unite God with our daily experience, we think after us in a different way. We no longer think of us as a struggling individual, but rather as that one of the spiritual union, allowing God to build our house of consciousness on His holy ground. We understand that as we travel through life with its various experience, we may do so as one entity, as one being, not capable of division and separation. No more bits and pieces. It is now our goal and our desire to live as the spiritual one of that union. Our purpose is to take on the persona of the self that is capable of being that one of the union. Now, we truly understand that when we unite God with our daily experience, that the self we claim is the one of that union. Having assumed this identity, again, we begin to wonder, does it have demands and expectations? What exactly is expected of that one who lives on holy ground? And then we also find us asking, how does one act spiritually? How do we live according to the divine attributes born of that union? Well, it would be well for us to see and consider how this works in other areas of our life. I remember an interview that I saw one time on TV. Now, the host of the show was interviewing an actor, asking him about the various roles that he played. He wanted to know about the preparation, exactly what is involved in taking on the role of someone else, attempting to portray a character that is not himself, and yet to remain true to the one he is portraying. Well, the actor replied that to take on the persona of another, you must know the makeup of that individual. How does he walk? And how does he talk? Does he have an accent or certain characteristics? He even talked about the need to get into that character's head to understand what and how he did the things that he did. Now, having completed his research, the actor was now ready to step out onto the stage as that person. He also pointed out that if you play your part to the best of your ability, you will find it difficult to lay down that idea of you when the performance is over. He admitted that even though he removed the makeup and dress required of the role, it was some time before he could return to his idea of himself outside the role of actor. Well, the TV host asked why this was so. Why is it necessary to get so involved in the role he was playing? Well, the actor thought a moment, and then he replied, the actor in him demanded that kind of performance. The actor in him demands that he stay true to the qualities and the attributes assigned to an actor. Now, a noted musician made similar comments. She practiced a great deal, and her music just seemed to flow from her without much effort on her part at all. So much so that we wondered, why is it necessary to spend so much time practicing? If her music was so much a part of her, was it not possible for her to just call it up when necessary? Was it possible to just lay it down and pick it up at will? Her response was that in order for the music in her to flow from her, she had to be consciously one with it. And to be consciously one with it meant constant recognition. And constant recognition meant practice. The musician in her demanded this kind of attention. When we unite God with our daily experience, God becomes our experience. His activity flows through us, and it flows through us in individual ways. It flows as music to the musician, as art to the artist. It flows as ideas to the composer, the architect, and the writer, each one showing forth God in an individual way. It shows forth as doctors and carpenters, as parents and teachers. There are varieties of talents and gifts, but one giver. It is not our personal glory, but the result of union with the source of all good. Jesus told us that God alone is good. When God's activity flows through us, it is God fulfilling itself. And our spiritual integrity demands that we be the avenue for Him to do so. Knowing that the principle of life is in us, this is important information, but please do not let us ever take it for granted, just like the musician. She knew there was music in her, but she did not take it for granted, pulling it out when she needed it and ignoring it at other times. No, her musical integrity demanded that she be one with her music. And I don't mean just now and then. To the degree that we stay true to our practice, we will see results. There will be times when we feel God's presence and witness His activity in our life. But again, I say, let us not take His presence for granted. We may say, oh yes, I know that God is here. Just let Him do the work. But this is not nearly enough. We have a role to play. Our role is to practice His presence over and over again, staying true to the demands of the union. The musician practices her music by placing her fingers on the keyboard. Being one with that instrument that allows the music in her to become visible in an audible way. We practice the spiritual principle by consciously being one with it, knowing that we are the instrument through which the blessings will become visible as answered prayer. We do this through prayer. The prayer of acknowledgement and acceptance. Now, I admit that when we first begin, that the prayer of acknowledgement might be a little difficult for us to understand. At first, when we discover the presence of God in us, we acknowledge it. Having acknowledged it, we may be tempted to ask it to do something for us. But God has already answered before we call, which means that the need is already met. So how would we go about asking God to do something that He has already equipped us to do? The prayer of acknowledgement and acceptance admits that God has already done His work inwardly. It is now up for us to find a way for it to escape from us, flowing into visibility as answered prayer. As I said, at first it may be difficult to understand that it is not necessary to ask God to act on our behalf. So it may take a little while for us to accept the attitude of, "Thank you, Father, for having heard me." But according to the degree that we practice, it will be done unto us. There can be no other way. Spirit in us demands that we act in this way. Now, really, I think that all of this sounds good, and many of us may actually agree with it. But we also admit that we are still living in this world, and yes, it still does get our attention. We may totally agree that God is not separate and apart from our daily experience. But we have not yet been able to unite God with our daily experience. At least, not to the degree that is visible in an obvious way. Not something that we can identify or name. And then we remember that interview with the actor. He spoke of the need to study the life of the individual he is portraying on the stage, getting to know him in a personal way, his mannerisms, his accent, his walk, and his personality. So now we know. If we are to unite God with our daily experience, we must learn about God. We must get to know him. What are the mannerisms, the speech, the attributes, and the qualities of God? We may study the Bible and other holy books to discover what is written about God, what he had to say, and how he said it. He spoke through the prophets, through Moses, through Jesus, Paul, and John. And today he also speaks in the heart of man. The encouragement is given. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. In the process of our study, our spiritual integrity demands that we act as his child on the stage of life. And really, I know no other way than the way of acknowledgement, recognition, and acceptance. We begin right where we find us, in our daily time of experience. We may admit, "God, I know that you are here, but I do not want to use you. No, I know better than that. You cannot be used. I know that you are closer to me than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I am not bringing to you my fears and my concerns because you are the only power and nothing can touch me or bring harm to me." Now, this may seem like a practice of affirmations and denials, and perhaps it is. But I say to you, whatever works for you, please do it. Sometimes what we say as recognition involves voicing what we no longer do. "I will not fear what mortal man can do, for he has but the arm of flesh. I do not give power where it does not belong." We notice how Jesus handled his time with Pilate. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And then he went on. Pilate, thou couldst have no power over me, for there is only one power, that is God, Spirit, life. Okay, what is our Pilate? Is it a disease? It is a financial difficulty or a family problem? Perhaps it is simply that familiar feeling of fear and anxiety. It does not matter. We can address it as Jesus did. It has no power over us. There's only one power, and it is God. Do you see how we are acting here? We are acting as God's child. And when we take on this identification, we know us as spiritual being, and yes, Spirit demands that we act according to everything that is contained in that self. Our spiritual integrity will accept nothing less from us. Now remember, we involve ourselves in this activity as a way to unite God with our experience. There is no preordained script for us to follow or written lines for us to study and learn. The actor prepares for his role that he will play at the time of a performance. Our daily experience is our time of performance. And that's okay, because you see, God does not act in the future. In God, there is no such thing as time. There is no past, present, and there is no future. God is the only eternal now, which is why our time of acknowledgement, recognition, and acceptance is moment by moment. And our way of preparation is to stay prayed up. That is to constantly have those little talks with God. Our role on the stage of life is the best performance ever. Now, I don't know if it's really helpful for us to think in terms of acting and performing, but we do so in all walks of life. When we take on that role of parent, teacher, or helper, we all have a certain idea of what is demanded of us. And we will excel to the degree that we fulfill what is required of those particular roles. When we accept the role of a spiritual self, it is natural for us to do so, for it's who we truly are. And yes, there will be demands that come with it. No longer can we act as that one of separation and division. No more bits and pieces. We can no longer do this. Our spiritual self will not allow us to do so. And if we happen to step outside our conscious union with God, oh yes, we will know it. The simplicity of the principle sometimes allows us to become complacent, and we forget to practice it, assuming that it will do its work without our acknowledgement. And of course it will, but you see, unless we consciously unite God with our daily experience, we will not find him there. We will become as that branch that's cut off from the tree, separating us from our source, from our foundation. The hypnotism of the world invites us to be one with it. But this is but the lure of the arm of flesh. We are of God. This morning we have the opportunity to acknowledge our true self, the child of God. Spirit demands that we do so. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause a moment and just sit in the silence. Spirit speaks in the soul of man. I am here. Acquaint now thyself with me. You will be at peace. You are my child. Turn to me. You will find me. I call you by my name. Go forth and let your light shine. I have sent you into the world to live the abundant life and to also serve your fellow man. Remember, I am closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. To search after me is to acknowledge my presence above all else, and to trust me to do the work. Not my will, but thine be done, is your personal act of surrender. And then rejoice and give thanks that I have revealed myself in this way. Step out and be who you truly are. Know yourself as I know you. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Let this be your realization. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.